Welcome to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We give you all the news, the leaks, and the rumors. PlayStation 5. It's upcoming games. I'm joined by Jordan and Vikarth. Today we have a jam-packed show of news, state of play,
and rumors.
Amy Henning's new game, A Quiet Place video game announced. Far Cry 6.
What is this intro?
Red Dead Remastered. All sorts of things. Guys, how are you today? You good?
We're good. Vike, how are you?
Doing well.
Beautiful. Mm. Well, let's get straight into it, guys.
Let's get stuck into it.
State of play.
So full jam, this one.
The state of play is that that came out about 6 days ago. I watched it in its entirety, and I'm happy to announce it was the worst state of play in the history of state of plays.
Yeah, it was not the strongest state of play.
It was the worst, as I just said.
And we've talked about this before, where what are our expectations of state of play? And I think we when the first state of play happened, we expected E3, right? We expected E3 2.0. And now we've sort of tempered our expectations to maybe one good game or two good games. But this one seemed to have no huge good games. Not good games. I mean, we obviously want to see, is it Little Devil Inside? But, in terms of your premium, what we're waiting for, the God of War, the Horizons. But that being said, we've heard so much about them, it's sort of like, I don't need to keep hearing news about them or little tidbits. Like, Sony obviously just want to show, or PlayStation just want to show what they want to show. They're doing it at their own time. That's where I'm like, look, you guys are planning this on your own time. So if you guys are doing this, then you guys should have a good show.
Have you ever been impressed by a state of play? Have you ever gone out
not
of a
really.
State of play?
I think there's one.
Wow. One. Yeah.
But is it more of just a, here's an update, guys?
Yeah.
It is in my eyes.
Yeah, I think that's what it's always been. I think and it's something I came to terms with a while ago. So it's not E3. Everyone thinks it's going to be E3, and everyone is inevitably disappointed. No matter how awesome what they show is, there's always people who are like, "Oh no, it wasn't that good." The other big announcement that came out of this, so we saw Little Devil Inside. The other big announcement was that Death's Door was coming to PlayStation, because it didn't look like it was going to. From what we'd seen, it looked like it was going to stay on PC and Xbox. And this one, I was quite disappointed that when this didn't come out on PlayStation when it first released. So the fact that it is coming out now makes me really excited, because now that I can actually play it, because it's in the conversation for Game of the Year at the moment too.
Yeah.
So the fact that we get it now over here is good.
I've still got games like Returnal and Hades to play before I get into something like this. You know what I mean?
And we can't forget, hey, Bugsnax. We're going to the Isle of Big Snacks.
What is... Yeah, so was there a DLC update? Is that what it was?
Yeah, there was a DLC update announced, and it wasn't going to come with any trophies. Ugh. Did you say this? And then they announced that. And then, what's the word I'm looking for?
Hold on. They announced there was no trophies.
They made it known there was going to be no trophies for the DLC. And
as
then,
a joke.
No. It was not going to be. And then Greg Miller got on there and was like, hey, put trophies in it. Now there's trophies in it.
Well, he's in the game, isn't he? Oh, no. He's in another game.
No, that's the island one where you play the crab.
The crab. He's the crab, yeah.
Isn't he Anton Castillo in Far Cry?
No, that's me. I'm actually Anton Castillo, yeah. Yeah, and I played Diego as well. Yeah,
dude, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, I had to duck down and look up at myself and then go just continue every scene, That's why I was gone for so long in Canada, remember?
Oh, that's right.
You didn't see me for a few weeks, yeah.
You were with the Garrias.
Well, yeah, this was the worst day to play in history, and I knew it wasn't going to be good going in, because they already had the showcase. They're very specific in their wording. The showcases are good stuff, AAA stuff you want to see. The state of plays are skippable, in my opinion. And from now on, I won't be tuning into them live. I'll just get a recap at the end, because it's a little bit of a waste of time for me in particular. There's people that enjoyed the stuff here. For me, a lot of these games, besides Little Devil Inside, wasn't really appealing to me. So, and do you know what? It's just come up on my screen here, Vic, that we haven't even talked about it all. Riders Republic. I'm looking here. Press Start have given it a 6.5. It's not great, is it?
Wow.
It's I actually forgot this game came out, man. Is that bad?
Considering Steep did quite well review-wise and got its own little niche following and was a sort of playground that was really fun. And Steep was meant to be this more expansive sequel. Riders Republic was meant to be this more expansive sequel to Steep, I feel like. And it's interesting that the reviews are a lot worse.
Well, it's 78. 78 Metascore, but decent it's good. User score.
So... Okay, that's... 78 Metascore is pretty good. It's just under an 80. So
I've played it. I found it fun, but it just didn't hook me.
Yeah, I just want to see what the gameplay loop is like. You know, what's keeping you there?
What's keeping you there is you got to play. You got to play with friends. Otherwise, if you're by yourself.
And these reviewers, are they playing with friends? You know, they're not. So that's going to tarnish the experience.
Yep. Are you interested in Riders Republic, Jordan?
A very like interest, not like dying to play it, but I was interested in to see how it looks. But it looks like it's a bit sort of just what Steep is, except with a few more sports.
Yep. Fair enough.
Yeah, no, so probably a skip for me.
Now we've gone on record a few times on this podcast saying, oh, there's no way, you know. There's no way God of War Uncharted will come to PC. God, there's no way, guys. Now they're all on PC.
I said that they will be.
Yeah, let's give Vic credit. He did say, he argued the point that they are, and he was right. So let's give Vic the clap. First time he's ever been everybody. Congratulations.
The professor.
The professor.
No, I was right. You remember the other prediction I was right with?
What was that?
That Far Cry's trash? That was
He's so serious about the build-up, and then he just lays it down. Yeah, well, we've got a great story about Valhalla later, but So Sony has rebranded its PC publishing label to PlayStation PC. That's when you know they're going to go hard on it.
Yeah, PlayStation PC LLC. So they definitely are. And we even heard a few weeks ago, I think it was actually the last episode that I wasn't on, we talked about the mobile division as well and how PlayStation are really making this push into PC with Horizon, Days Gone, God of War, Uncharted, all the big PlayStation dogs are coming. Now, Sackboy Big Adventure as well, which we'll talk about in a sec, is also being rumored to be coming to PC as well. So I just think it's this huge push. You know, I was thinking about this the other day where Horizon, you see like Aloy coming in Genshin Impact, we see her in Fortnite coming to PC, and it almost looks like they really want to make her a mascot, like the PlayStation mascot. Like, do you get what I mean? Like they're putting in all these games and want to make her that seminal figure, which I think is great to have like a female protagonist as a mascot. It's optically quite good for PlayStation. But it's just, I see this PC push as just, look, here's our classics. If you want the sequels, though, you're going to have to buy a PS5 or have fun waiting 5 years or 4 years, you know?
And it's quite harsh, but it's like, it's good because it pushes the point that, like, you really should have this. You can have it later, but you really should have this.
Answer this question for me, all right? Will Spider-Man 2018 come to PC before the Venom game comes out?
I think it could.
Let's get this in writing. Yes or no as a prediction? Yes. Vikarth says yes. Jordan?
I think it's a different kettle of fish. I was very like vehement, adamant, whatever word you want to say, that God of War and that wouldn't come. I especially think Spider-Man won't come. I know God of War and Uncharted are now moving to PC. I think Spider-Man especially no, purely because it is like Sony have that partnership already because they own like the movie tie-in part. Like they own the movie rights to it. And I don't know whether I don't know whether they own the video game rights as well. And that's why there's no Spider-Man game on the Xbox. So, I'd be saying no. before Venom? Because that's next year, isn't it? Isn't Venom next year?
No, 2023.
Oh, I don't really know.
I'm saying no. I'm saying no.
Saying no as well.
I obviously am saying yes. Now, I can see why they would say no. And let's just say there's no licensing issues. Like, you know, there might be something in the deal that's like exclusive. Let's just say there's no roadblocks from a legal point of view. I think, let's think about this with Insomniac. So the Spider-Man game, now Ratchet, even Ratchet's not on PC. So it's not like Insomniac have a history on the PC, but if you really think about Spider-Man, now when I'm saying Spider-Man's coming out, I'm not saying this year, I'm not saying next, well, maybe late next year, right? Like maybe 6 months into the run-up of the Spider-Man Venom. But you've got to remember, Spider-Man is not only going to be teasing the PC players with the Spider-Man 2 game, it's also going to be teasing the place the gamers with the Wolverine game that's going to be coming as well. That's two games you're tempting PC guys to come to PlayStation with. Even Miles Morales, I don't know if they'll bundle Miles Morales in with PC. Miles Morales.
I'm telling you, that Wolverine game is a big hit for PlayStation. That's a big one.
Yeah. See, that's the power of going to the PC guys and saying, here's a great Marvel game, because we all know Avengers was trash and let you down. So here's one that won't let you down. And we're going to even...
Your new favorite word, trash.
We're going to give you a new Spider-Man game with Venom. We're going to give you a new Wolverine game. So have fun. But buy a PS5 because you're not going to play those games anytime soon.
At least you're telling them to have fun. You're so genuine.
Plus, Spider-Man, Spider-Man came out in 2018, was it?
2018, yeah, correct.
Yeah, so if it comes out in 2022, let's say, that's 4 years, you know? So that's a pretty good, you know, you've exhausted the PlayStation market. The demographic, you've exhausted that 4 years. No one's really buying it 4 years later. Now you might have that little sales bump before Spider-Man, right? Before the new Spider-Man, but those who are getting it on PlayStation 5 or looking to, they're going to buy the Spider-Man on PlayStation. You know, I don't see any sales.
That's another thing that it is. It's its own. It's got Miles Morales as well on PS5.
You know? Yeah, Miles Morales is, I think, phenomenal experience. I do think it's.
You thought it was better, didn't you?
I personally enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
There was no Harry Osborn weather stations, but I did love that.
Why do you hold that again? Like, Jordan, why does this guy hold that one thing against the game?
They were. He didn't even have to do it. Let's be honest.
He didn't have to do it.
That being said, Spider-Man 2018 is like a 9/10 for me. Like, you know what I mean? I'm joking around, but it's still a phenomenal game. But I can see the benefits. Is what I'm saying, because there's no where's the real loss in putting Spider-Man 2018 on PC, maybe, you know, remastered with all the new.
Well, the loss at that point is, as a PC player, you know these games are eventually going to come. A lot of these guys are willing to wait.
Yeah, I'm saying, but look at the movies, Dan. Are you gonna watch the next Marvel movie, or are you gonna go, oh, it's gonna come to Netflix eventually? So I'll just wait a couple of years.
Oh, well, Eternals doesn't have great reviews.
Yeah, well, Eternals is another thing. But I'm talking about, you know, Avengers Endgame or, you know, the pre-phase MCU.
Can wait. They're not great, are they, really? Let's be honest.
Are you gonna wait for Doom, Dan? Are you going to wait for Doom?
I've already seen it. Anyway.
Would you wait 4 years for it, though? Like, nah.
Of course not. Would you wait 4 years to see Doom? Yeah.
Speaking of Iron Man, he's been cast in Chris Nolan's new film. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
I did not see that. What's his new movie?
I did.
Oppenheimer, it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iron Man 5.
Anyway, that's a different kettle of fish. Go on, Vike.
Yeah, no, sorry. I just wanted to quickly mention the Sackboy. So the rumor is that Sackboy Big Adventure was coming to Steam.
Yes!
So there was a...
Yes, the one so game.
This is that's. I want to talk about that then, because that's quite interesting. So
all 50 of you, get ready.
There was a new listing on the Steam database. Steam apparently, yeah. There's a new product in the database which goes by the code name Steel, as in the metal Steel PC. And the product's current information references something called Marmalade content. Which is believed which it's believed is a reference to Sumo Digital's platformer Sackboy. And I think we also saw in the NVIDIA leaks that this was included, I believe. There was something called a reference to Project Marmalade, which the list also confirmed was Sackboy Big Adventure. So it's just looking like this is coming. And I've been talking to you guys about why Spider-Man, God of War, Horizon are great, because they're teasing something. But my question is, what is Sackboy teasing? Like Dan said, there's no user base, really.
It, like, maybe that's why. Maybe it's not teasing anything. Maybe it's like, we've sold enough. Put it on thing now.
I could see it as
they haven't sold enough.
We need to expand. They haven't sold enough. We need to expand the market.
Yeah, that's what I should say.
Same for Returnal.
Yeah, well, yeah. Good point.
Because isn't Returnal coming to PC? Or was that... Is it PS4?
I think Returnal...
I don't remember seeing anything about
that. Did we not report Returnal was coming to PC a few weeks ago? Yeah, it is.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, no.
Oh. God, we're on a ride here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, the NVIDIA leaks. Remember those?
Yeah, the NVIDIA leaks. Yeah.
Does it say it is?
It was on the NVIDIA leaks, so not confirmation. But, yeah.
So, yeah, this PC strategy I think is interesting. I think it's very beneficial, but I think you can see the two reasons why they want to do it. Tease another game once they've exhausted the current user base they have on PlayStation, or they need the sales because they haven't got many, which I think Sackboy was. Well, considering Sackboy is only PS5, right? It's not on PS4. So
yeah, PS5. This is No. It's both. It's on both.
It's on both? Okay. Because yeah. I was going to say this is arguably the first PS5 exclusive on PC, but...
No, it's on both.
Now, speaking of Marvel, they announced a new project... with Amy Hennig as one of the leads or lead writer.
This is super exciting. This is really, I love this news. This is seriously awesome.
A new AAA game studio by Hennig. This is fantastic news for me. Yep.
And for their, is it Skydance Studios? Is that what it was called?
Skydance New Media, I believe it's called. Yeah, or Skydance Media. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really know anything. Yeah, do we? We don't know anything, but
I did a little bit of research. So we should mention as well that Janina Gavankar, who was in Battlefront 2, has said that she's going to be a voice actor in this game as well. There was
Isn't
also
that interesting?
And there was also a leak that Forbes reported on as well. This happened like a year ago, that Marvel was putting the feelers out there for someone to take on the licenses of Wolverine, which we've already known is true because there's a game being made. And the second one was Daredevil.
Oh, so, and we know Troy Baker wants to be on Daredevil.
Yeah, yeah. Could she be Elektra? Probably.
Yep.
100%. So, yeah, I could see it being a Daredevil. The only other game I can think of that maybe Janina Gavankar might be in might be like Black Widow, and she plays Black Widow. That's the only other
but they just had Laura Bailey play her. It's a bit, you know.
Oh, so do you think Janina Gavankar would play Elektra?
And she'd be a good fit for her, wouldn't she? It makes sense. Jordan, good digging. I think you've hit something there.
It really makes sense. The puzzle pieces fit there.
I am so excited for Amy Hennig's Marvel game. Like, honestly, like, I really was gutted when her Star Wars game got cancelled.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, was that 1313 she was working on? No, she was working on Star
It was
Wars
a third project. Person action adventure.
Yeah.
Star Wars game.
Well, now we know that she's also writing, she's also on the writing team for Forspoken. So she's got her hats in a variety of baskets.
Really?
That's not the right saying. Yeah. So she's with Gary Witter, Amy Hennig. There's a few other writers, but they're working on Forspoken. Yeah,
it's interesting that she can form her own studio, but also a writer on a Square Enix title.
Yeah, I know it's
a bit bizarre.
So, I mean, this is obviously very early stages, I would say, this game.
That's already done. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So she's probably just transitioning from one to the other.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, Forspoken would be done. The writing of that game would be, you would say, pretty much nearing completion.
What I love is that it is will be a narrative-driven, this is Amy Hennig's new game, a narrative-driven blockbuster action-adventure game, which is just music to our ears, isn't it?
Sign us up, man.
Yeah, especially after, I think, the good news of Guardians of the Galaxy, which I admit I was very skeptical of, but then when I heard it's like an actual really good, pure single-player experience, that actually brought my hype levels up and got me excited for
Jordan,
it.
Jordan got the plat today.
Yeah, he did.
So, yeah, I did. Double plat, double stack.
But yeah, it excited me a bit. Like, I'm glad that we've got this, you know, single player, pure single player story driven game in Guardians, and this is what Avengers should have been, in my opinion. But yeah.
Right, calm down on Avengers, all right. Kamala Khan was pretty good in that game. No.
Oh yeah, she was relatively fun. Yeah.
Come on.
That's what I love about games, when they're relatively fun. Yeah. I love paying $70, $80, $100 for relatively fun games.
Oh well. Okay. I don't know how to transition. Now, I want to hear you guys' thoughts. A Quiet Place is becoming a video game. We know the universe of movies that that have come out that have done really well in the box office and have been good movies. And now there is a game coming, which I always said, I don't know if I said on this podcast, I might have. I said, this would be a great universe for a game. I always said it. And people say, isn't Last of Us very similar to this in a way? And I actually argue, no, it's not. The setting and the world, of course, like the apocalyptic dystopic side of it. Yeah, of course, that's the same. But how many movies and games have done that and no one compares it? So, like, why do people think there's a comparison because of the clicker? Is that why?
As someone who's not seen A Quiet Place, but, you know, I also see...
You haven't seen both movies or either of them? Okay.
I will. It is different to clickers in the way that I feel like clickers, you can still kill. Like, they're quite scary, but you can still kill. But these monsters, like, as soon as you make a noise, it's game. It seems like it's game over, right?
Yes.
Like, these are very hard enemies to take on. And that's what's different. It reminds me of, like, that Predator hunting grounds. Like, not that, but, like, in terms of, like, you get seen, you're sort of dead. The sound is like the sound element. That's going to be a whole mechanic. It's going to be.
You can't talk. They can't talk. You can openly talk in The Last of Us. There's hundreds of hours of cutscenes in The Last of Us 2. It's like 10 hours of cutscenes. In this, there's got to be sign language or, you know. Have you seen the Quiet Place movies, Jordan?
Yeah, I've seen both. Yeah, I've seen both of these. So this is pretty exciting. I'm imagining, was it Alien Isolation? Was that the name of the game that came out on PS4? And it was where you were stalking through the space station and you had the alien chasing you.
Alien Isolation?
Like, yeah. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm imagining it to be like that, where you might not be so... maybe to make it to not have to worry about the communication part, maybe you are running it solo. So maybe you are going through this world on your own. And there's bits and pieces where you're talking, but I can imagine them wanting to make you feel as isolated and as solitary as possible while you're moving through this world and moving as quietly as you can. I can imagine it being solo. It's a cool premise for a game.
It's developed by Alogica. Now, they worked on, bizarrely, PGA Tour. It's just... Right. Very interesting.
So can we expect some Tiger Woods Easter eggs?
And they worked on Spiritfarer. Is that how you call it?
Spiritfarer.
Yeah, I believe they did. I don't particularly know how involved they were on these projects. So maybe I'll just leave that. You guys could do your own research there. But
yeah,
it's supposedly a horror game with action elements. Is what I've been told. So
there's obviously, if I'm remembering correctly, isn't there like that the aliens or the monsters in the movies, they're quite hard to kill, aren't they? And isn't it only at the end of
yeah,
the first one?
Yeah, exactly.
The end of the first very, one they figure out how to do it.
Very difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how this works. Obviously, there's like the movie creates rules and stuff that the game can follow. It'll be interesting to see how closely the game sticks to it and how they creatively stray from it to make it fit in a video game world.
Yeah.
You know what the issue is? Video game movies or time video games had a very bad track record historically. So I really hope a game like this is taken care of and is in good hands.
The concern for me is it's coming next year, apparently.
It might not be that long.
Jeez, that's quick.
It might only be like a 6-hour thing.
So I don't expect AAA either. So just keep your expectations in check.
No, definitely not expecting AAA for this one.
Now, some delays, guys, have come up. I want to know your thoughts. Overwatch 2, and is it Diablo 4 or 5?
Four.
Yeah. Both delayed till 2023. Wow, that's huge.
I think the 2023 part's report, like, only rumored, isn't it? They've just said delayed for the time being.
Okay.
But it wouldn't surprise me if it's 2023. These poor games just going. This is like the beginnings of development hell for these games, because it's been a long time coming that these games probably should have been out. But you know, Blizzard's got a whole bunch of nonsense happening over there. I think one of the presidents left as well. So you know how there's those two presidents.
Absolute took chaos over
from the last bloke. Yeah, one of them left. Already.
We don't even cover on this show because we'd be here all day. There's so much news on it about the disasters that are going on over there. And you feel sorry for some of the developers who are pouring their heart out and are being overshadowed. But Overwatch this second game has just been plagued with a hard development from what I've seen and just negative feedback the entire time.
Yeah. And can I be honest? I don't reckon they've helped themselves with the really confusing and conflicted messaging from the start where it was like, it's a sequel, but you can play it if you have the original and you don't need to buy this next one, but you should because
that was the red flag for me. You can play one and two together. No, that shouldn't be a thing in my opinion.
You should move it. Yeah. Like the Overwatch has had its run. When did Overwatch 1 come out? 2016.
Yeah. 5 years ago.
That's had its run now. Time to move on. Time to move on to the next game.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm sure there's people who disagree with that because like Blizzard games usually, like heaps of people still play StarCraft 2 and StarCraft 1. And I think Overwatch is going to be looked at that eventually because as we get this legacy of games, because I'm assuming there's going to be an Overwatch 3, Overwatch 4 one day. And, you know, people I'm sure will still come back to Overwatch 1 to play it and it'll be different to the sequels. But yeah, it's time to move on from that. Like Overwatch 1 and 2, people don't need to play together. Overwatch 2 should be obviously still have the bones of Overwatch, but it should be different. And
yeah,
just really silly and conflicting messaging coming out of that from the get-go. So yeah, but you know, delays never hurt. Delays are never bad. In this case, they're a little bad.
My question is,
they're usually never bad for the game.
We've heard so much news about how bad the state Blizzard's in and even the effect that has on Overwatch, and we've specifically talked here and again about just the fact that like the investors really want this game to come out, that they're really being slow, and Blizzard allegedly admitting themselves that they've taken so long in the development cycle. But my question is, if this game is more of just a visual and mechanical upgrade to Overwatch 1, because if you can play Overwatch 2 and Overwatch 1 together, then obviously it's got the Overwatch 1 foundation and you're just building upon improving mechanics. It's almost like an Overwatch 1.5. Why is it taking so long? 5 years, you know? So I am worried about the game. But once again, like Jordan said, it'll come out when it comes out and delays never hurt. So, you've just got to trust it. But yeah, I think, like Dan said, Blizzard and Activision have got other things to worry about right now. So,
Yeah, no, it's not good for Blizzard. And I don't know what their stocks are looking like either at the moment, but I'm guessing not great. Did it? Yeah.
Yeah, they dropped today.
A lot of these gaming companies, stocks have dropped. It started with CD Projekt Red with Cyberpunk, and then Rockstars, I think, dropped. Ubisoft have dropped. Activision, Blizzard, a lot have dropped. But I think you'll find Nintendo up. Ubisoft delays as well. The Division Heartland and Prince of Persia Sands of Time will be coming out in 2023 as well. It's also, look, I think this is a smart move for them for one reason. We know 2022 is going to be a stacked year, guys. So maybe for some of these smaller titles, it might be a money play. Who knows? Could be.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. It's going to be stacked next year. And it's like this flow-on effect is going to be felt for years now, probably for the rest of this generation. Like this flow-on effect of delays because of like density limits in work, in like studios, in like working from home situations, all that sort of thing. I reckon the whole generation now is going to be plagued by this. But hopefully what it means is people get more time to spend on their games to get them how they want to look, and then we get better games as a result.
If you remember, The Division Heartland is free to play. It's a free to play Division spin-off. So putting it in a crowded, look, I don't know how much it affects that, you know, like, but anyway, that's probably a smart move. They just want to stay clear of it.
Like, it's free to play.
You're still vying for people's attention.
Cash cow.
Yeah, you're still vying for people's attention.
And there's still going to be like microtransactions in there. Like, they're not just like, as much as it's free to play, like, remember, that only really means that, like, you know, yes, it is free to play by name, but there will obviously be a pretty hefty microtransaction system in there as well, you would assume, for them to actually make money off it.
Free to play doesn't mean your game is going to do well either these days.
No.
Because there's so many options now. It's got to be a good game as well. But yeah, that Prince of Persia game got such bad reception from when they revealed it that I think they're just reworking the whole thing.
Otherwise, rightfully so as well. Like it deserved it. It looked shocking. So take all the time you need to make it not look like that.
Wouldn't it be good if you could get a really good Prince of Persia game? Like it's got the elements there. Can you imagine a Prince of Persia game with, remember the tech demo they showed for PS5?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? The graphics? Mm-hmm. Imagine it in that style. You know?
I tell you what the best Prince of Persia game was. I think it was
Sands of Time.
No. That wasn't it.
You like Forgotten Sands, is it? No.
Yes.
Yeah, you do? Yeah.
Oh, actually, hang on, wait. It says that's a 2D side scroller.
Oh, okay.
That's not the one I wanted. It was the one on PS3, and it came out like after the Prince of Persia one that was cel shaded.
Came out on PS3. Was it just called Prince of Persia?
No. So it came out after that. Maybe it was called The Forgotten Sands as well. I think it must have been.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of The Forgotten Sands because that was on PS3.
That one was so good. And at the end, it has a bit where you've got to like use all of the platforming elements that you've learned up into the game in this one puzzle, like in this one platforming puzzle. And it's the best platforming section of a game I've ever played. It was fantastic. I really, really liked that game. So it's a shame that Prince of Persia's sort of fallen out of, relativity, I guess. And it'll be good to see this remake. Hopefully this remake can spur, you know, more games in this franchise moving forward. Maybe they need to look for like a different, protagonist for the next, like if they do another series, they just look to find another protagonist too. That could be cool.
So more delays. Now, speaking of Ubisoft, they came under a bit of fire due to some emails being sent to players by Giancarlo Esposito's Anton Castillo. He was in people's emails. I think he was in Vike's email for people who didn't finish Far Cry 6. So what are you doing?
It went to the same inbox that Vike got from Ivor from Assassin's Creed Valhalla saying, come play my game.
You didn't make it to England, man. What are you doing? And people got up in arms. I didn't get the backlash personally. I found it sort of fun. Maybe
I thought it was cool. I liked it. Yeah, I think it's like cool that games do this, very tongue in cheek, and like it's very old school, I feel, where like games like interact with you like that. Like,
of course, these guys on Twitter have to complain about everything. I mean, oh, normalize people finishing games. They don't. Oh, seriously, it's a bit of fun. Like,
I think the issue might be that people who dropped off Far Cry 6.
Well, we've lost Fike there.
Oh, sorry, we've lost Fike there.
Fike, well, I like it.
We lost you for a second, Mike. What did you say?
Oh, I just said because it's people who may have not liked
the game
and then they're receiving
emails. Not again.
No, I'm being serious.
I didn't hear you cut out again. When you went to say your reason, you cut out again.
You keep cutting out right at the reason.
So really, we can only assume that what Vike was trying to say is he thinks Far Cry 6 is game of the year and he can't dispute it.
All right, one more time, Vike. Come on.
All right. Here we go. I was saying because people don't like the game, they dropped off it, and then you're getting emails saying, come play the game. So they weren't huge, like a fan of that. That's one of the reasons. But I like it. I love it. It's a bit of taunting. I think it's good. Bit of fun. You know, bit of fun, bit of taunting. No harm. It's just
nothing,
an email.
Nothing better than a bit of good-natured ribbing.
Yeah, exactly.
I just always complaining, it feels like, these people. Now, speaking of Ubisoft as well, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, the second most profitable title in Ubisoft history. Let that sink in, guys.
Let's also remember, keep this in mind, this may be in part due to the price rise of next-gen versions too.
Mm.
So
still profitable, though.
Still highly profitable, don't get me wrong.
The development cost of Valhalla would have been pretty high as well compared to their previous titles. Mm.
I disagree. I think it was really helped by the Viking setting, for one.
Yeah,
and it came out with the new consoles, perfect timing on everything as well. And I believe it didn't have much competition around the time it came out. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
It was Miles. But Miles was out at the same time.
Yeah, Miles and a few others, but not really the same sort of games. No RPGs or anything like that. So, and obviously this Assassin's Creed brand is still, you know, still doing well.
Kicking.
I mean, second most profitable title in history. What's the first? Do we know what the first is? Like?
The most profitable Ubisoft title.
Yeah.
Splinter Cell Blacklist, I heard.
If this is second.
Do you think it'd be like another Assassin's Creed, like Origins or Siege? Because Siege is ongoing. I don't know.
It must be another AC. I just want to know which one.
I feel like it would be another Assassin's Creed.
Actually, I think it might be Just Dance.
Oh, wow.
That's true. Just Dance.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. Someone write us in if you know the answer, but just thought I'd let you know that. And then also the Vast DLC looks to be coming out for Far Cry 6. We got some trophies pop up on PSN profiles, which means usually it's coming very, very shortly. And also the Danny Trejo mission came out a little early and then they removed it. So it was supposed to come out this month, I believe, the Vast DLC. So I don't know why they don't just give us a date. It's really backwards thinking, in my opinion, the way this roadmap's going. Just give us the roadmap in date form so we know, you know. I don't know why they're doing that, but maybe they haven't finished it. Maybe there's bugs or something and they're just
trying to. I don't know why Ubisoft does a lot of things.
So that's it for UB. Now, I want to talk about this WB game, guys, this multiverse fighting game that got leaked. It just got leaked after we did our episode, Jordan.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Super Smash Bros., but for the WB roster. We're talking Batman, Bugs Bunny, Gandalf, Rick and Morty, Superman, Scooby-Doo. This sounds awesome. I'm in.
And the best bit is, so we gave it a little bit of airtime a few weeks ago, the Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. I never ended up playing that. Having said that, now that I've got a little bit of time before GTA next week, I'm like, ooh, do I dip my toes in, play a little bit of Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl? The thing that this game is going to have up on that is one of the big complaints of Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl was no voice acting. because they don't own the voices of the characters, or they didn't have the rights to them, or they couldn't get them, but there's no voice acting. WB owns, like, WB's making this game. They're going to own all the voices. So they're going to be able to have these characters mm-hmm. voiced, which is already going to have a leg up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this before the show as well. It seems like they're just leaning into, let's just make Smash Brothers, but with our characters, which is what All-Stars didn't do. So this is, obviously, it's not going to be Game of the Year or anything, but it's going to be so much fun.
Did WB ever get a character in Super Smash Bros, guys?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
There you go. No. So this is perfect. Now,
yeah, I love it. It sounds like a great idea. Execution will be another thing.
I love the name of it. Going too, on to what? Just quickly, the name's awesome.
What's the name?
What's the name of it?
WB Super Smash Multiverse.
Warner Brothers.
Isn't that what's supposed to be called? Just Multiverse.
Oh.
Well, that'd be cool.
Maybe it is. It's you've got Nickelodeon. You've got obviously Super Smash Brothers firing on all cylinders. Nickelodeon's making their game. WB are making their game. Tell me why we do not have a sequel to PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
I'm going to cut you off. So Jeff Grubb has some details on this game, Multiverses. He says it could be a free-to-play title. Future characters will be sold as DLC. First DLC fighter could be Warner Brothers' very own LeBron James from Space Jam. And apparently it looks cheap. So not great, guys.
Oh, all right. Hype train's officially derailed.
No. I want LeBron. But
LeBron versus Batman.
Would you,
it sounds like Space Jam. Have you guys seen the new Space Jam? It's just a walking WB movie.
Ad. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard it's like a walking WB ad.
Yeah. This is the game version.
I'm going to be watching it soon, actually, so I'm keen to watch it. I just think there's so much potential for Sony to do their own brawler. Imagine DLC. It's
money talks, DLC man. Character. Money talks, and
if they do released it right, All-Stars
was right. I enjoyed it. What was wrong with it? The game was
it did
fun,
well sales wise.
We played that game for hours.
Mm. No so crash,
what,
no Spyro.
What went wrong? The characters weren't good enough.
Very weak. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now they've got this bolstered first-party family, this strong ecosystem.
Now's
all
the
these
time.
First-party characters. Now's
you're right.
The time to capitalize.
You might have to make your own YouTube channel if that game comes out.
Oh, man.
We'll make a YouTube channel together, Vike, if that game comes out. We'll call it the All-Star Fam or something. Jordan,
Six
you
Days
can tag
of All-Stars.
Dude, where is 6 Days of Fallujah? It's just dropped. They're like,
it's
yeah,
in Fallujah.
Call of Duty, Battlefield, Halo coming out. Yeah, we're going to fuck that. We're going to come out next year.
Hey, while we're on that, where's Abandoned?
Oh, that's a disaster. Let's not talk about that, man. That's
he
a
got
rort.
Abandoned.
That's a rort, that whole thing. That's a scam. Now, Vike's favorite game. What is it, Jordan? His favorite game of all time.
Far Cry 6.
No.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla?
No.
Hmm.
One more. Come on. You've got it.
Is it Avengers?
Yes.
Oh, there we go.
You got it eventually. The Avengers have gone back on their word. And
good.
Removed.
So last week we reported, Dan, I think it was you and me who reported, or maybe it might have been the week before, and we talked about it, how Avengers was bringing pay to win microtransactions to the game, and they have promptly removed it. So in a statement they released on Twitter, they said, "We apologize for not responding sooner to your concerns about the addition of paid consumables in the marketplace. We introduced them as an option for an evolving player base and did not see them as pay to win since they don't offer power directly. After considering your feedback, we have decided that by the end of today, we will remove Heroes, Catalysts, and Fragment Extractors for purchase. They'll continue to be earnable rewards, and those already owned are still usable. We hope that this can be the first step in rebuilding your confidence in us as a team. It continues to be our goal to make the game very best as possible. Thank you for being part of the Marvel's Avengers community." Good on them. It sucks you put it in there in the first place, but the fact that you've gone back and said, yeah, you know what, we'll get rid of that, good on him, because it was not a good look.
I just remember the E3 video where they're like, we're not going to have any loot boxes or pay-to-win scenarios, you know? And then they were so, they acted like such heroes when they announced that.
Hmm.
And now look where they are. But they've taken it. They've remember, taken it
this
back,
was also, listening to the fan feedback. Was also at the same time when they were like, and Spider-Man's coming. And, you know, where's that? So hang on. So they announced that Spider-Man was going to come to the game. Now, let's just get this out there. They said Spider-Man's coming. Pay-to-win microtransactions are not. The pay-to-win microtransactions came before Spider-Man.
I wonder how that Black Panther stuff did. You know?
People, I think, I don't know if it brought new people in. I think the people who were already playing it loved it, but I don't think it brought many new people in.
Mm.
From memory, it did increase the sales, but then it dropped off shortly after.
Yeah.
Not the sales, the player base, like the player count. It did spike, and it went back to nothing.
You know, here's a story we don't have on our list, but Back 4 Blood has less current players than Left 4 Dead. Now, how
just on Steam?
That's embarrassing. I don't want to be too, you know, mean, but that really is pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Left 4 Dead came out 10 plus years ago, whatever it was.
Mm.
This game's been out for not even a month. You know,
I wonder if it's made people go back. Like Back 4 Blood coming out has made people go back to play it.
Yeah,
I wonder if
it Back 4 Blood coming out and they're it, like, "This is a better game." Like,
yeah,
the old one's better. Oh,
that's such a shame though, because like the Back 4 Blood devs obviously had a passion for making this, and it's a shame they couldn't.
Yeah, it's a shame. That it's a shame, but I don't know. Were we talking about this off air or on air? Zombie games.
We were. Yeah.
Zombie games, man. They don't sell anymore. They're not.
No.
No one cares. Walking Dead show's gone downhill. The zombie phase is over, pretty much.
But we're into like a new phase where it's not zombies we're running away from. It's you know, monsters and clickers and that sort of thing.
I feel like it's superheroes.
Oh, superheroes is definitely a thing at the moment. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I think we've got a bit of fatigue on that as well now. But
it's starting to fatigue. So now we need the Metal Gear Solid phase. Solid Snake.
Well, the phase now, in my opinion, the phase now is Battle Royale. Like Squid Game, I just finished it. I think that's a phenomenal show.
It really is, isn't it? It's such a good show.
Great show. Really great show. So
you're right. Battle Royale, but even Battle Royale is waning a bit. Like Warzone numbers going down.
It's only
down,
waning Fortnite, because there's no new games coming out in the genre. That are doing
that's a good point. It's a good point. I just wonder what the next genre is, honestly. I hope it's something completely different.
Death Stranding.
Imagine that. Nothing but actually, maybe that's what I'll play next.
Because everyone they're gonna miss COVID in 5 years. They're gonna miss all those deliveries. So now you can be a delivery.
Do you think the phase could be your roguelite sort of type games where it's like Deathloop, Returnal? Hades, where you have that recurring sort of thing.
The roguelite has definitely had it's definitely been not the prominent key figure, but it definitely has been, and it's been building for a few years because we've had games like Rogue Legacy, Hollow Knight, and obviously the sequel for Hollow Knight's coming out soon. There's definitely been that happening, but it seems like, especially with Hades last year, like it's really starting to take off. And I reckon when the next Hollow Knight comes out, I reckon that's going to be massive.
Breaking news.
Well, what's this?
Cricket 2022 trophies are live.
Oh, don't do that to me, man.
No way. What are the trophies, Dan? Give them to me.
Call a coin toss correctly is a bronze trophy.
Do you know there'll probably be someone insane. Who never gets that?
Hit a six into the crowd. What is this, man? Complete 5 net sessions.
You can do net sessions?
Face a press conference in the career mode. Win 10 matches in a row. This is the easiest list. I will try to be the first in the world. All right?
Mate, I'll beat you to it.
All right, we're gonna go for it. One of us has to do it, Jordan. This looks so easy.
There'll be some trophy that'll be like win 500 online matches.
Nah, man. Nah, this looks so easy. I'm looking. Trust me. I'm a veteran at cricket games. Anyway, if anyone,
I want to,
all our international listeners don't even know what cricket is. Americans, anyway.
Yeah, everyone else except Americans, I guess. I want to see Dan do a let's play of a career mode in cricket. I just want to see it. The press conference, how he answers. I want to see him training in the nets.
You're the only one that wants to see that.
5-day, 6-hour sessions, test match. Training in the nets, working on your batting and bowling.
So you would, so would you watch a 5-stage let's play of me fully involved? Yep. You'd watch it
fully, like a real time simulation. So you know you got your 8-hour days from 10 to 6. I want that lunch and tea. I want you to actually go vlog yourself having lunch, having tea during the drinks breaks. I want to see you bat and bowl every single ball. For 5 days, test match.
Yeah, you definitely don't. anyway, yeah, cricket 2022, get ready, it's gonna sell huge numbers. Netflix games, they've got 5 games that are out now on their platform.
What are they?
Oh, I've had a look, they're not great. There's a Stranger Things game, they're all sort of 2D style.
Oh, actually,
Android style games.
One cool one, the After Party, I think that's what it's called. Is that what it's called?
After Party was,
which is the one where you go to hell. Yeah, I think. Let me just double check.
I don't know if that's out yet.
Okay, it might be coming though.
It might be coming. Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to go to hell, and then you've got to like make drinks and stuff to get out. Oh yeah. So what it was that Netflix acquired. I think we reported this a while ago. The Oxenfree and After Party developer Night School. That's what it was. Sorry, my bad.
They need to make a Squid Game game. I mean, that game came out right now, it would blow up. Like,
you know that's happening. You know,
I know that. Happening. I know, but hopefully they have it ready for season 2 or something.
How long before Fall Guys does something Squid Game related? Like, surely.
Yeah, I think they're all on it. Probably other people are on it too now. Like, there's probably 20 different developers doing their own version. So it'll be good to see. I feel like
Fall Guys, it's 2 kids. It's not adult enough to.
But like, I won't do the shooting Squid stuff. Game. It'll just be the games. Like, you don't need to have people die.
Every time you fail, just the Fall Guy just gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
Would that make you go back to Fall Guys? But how do they market? Yeah, sorry to cut you off, but they wouldn't be able to get the rights to it, would they?
They would call it like Squid Guys or something like that.
Yeah, so they've got to be careful as well.
Yeah. But you can even imagine, like, you can imagine playing like Red Light, Green Light. You can imagine doing Tug of War. You know, I can see it happening. I reckon maybe by the end of the year, we might get a tease with Fall Guys maybe doing something with Squid Game.
See,
and maybe not. Maybe not explicitly like an explicit official collab, but bringing something from Squid Game into there.
See, I would say Among Us went mainstream a little bit. I'm not sure Fall Guys went mainstream. It got close. Now,
I think it did.
Squid Game got mainstream. There's no doubt about that.
Squid Game gone. Well, isn't it the most watched thing on Netflix now?
It's huge, right? So that would translate to new gamers coming in.
But you got to make it violent. You got to put all the gore, you know, NPCs, like humanoids.
I agree.
You can't make a cartoon. Yeah.
I agree. It has to be violent.
How cool would it be, like Jordan said, like a tug of war where you've got 8-on-8 and it's just a battle of spamming the buttons? Like,
no, that's not together. A good idea for a controller, man. That's terrible.
Can you just imagine the cheese, like people with turbo controllers and stuff?
For a game,
but
like
also,
I always go for the Guitar Hero style over spamming, where you got to click the right buttons fast over the spamming.
You got to remember with Squid Game, like there are games that aren't really gamer. You can't really cater to a gamer, like the glass game, because that's unfair. But like, you know what I mean? Like
I thought about that one. That is unfair.
Yeah.
And how do you get around that?
Or even the marble one.
How do you get around that game? I thought about that.
Well, you just make different games, you know? You just make, because obviously Squid Game season 2, it's going to have a completely new set of games, right? Yeah. So you just got to make some new games that are sort of on that level of, you know, your Red Light, Green Light or your Tug of War or those sort of, I don't think you're going to spend 5 hours with a little honeycomb and a needle. Like,
But and I'm just saying, you can imagine that in Fall Guys, though, where you get given a pattern and you need to like run around the pattern as quickly as you can before someone else, and like having like obstacles thrown at you.
Could the
games that we have at the moment now, that's the one that translates the best.
Sorry, but guys, think of Fall Guys, right? Do you remember the game where you've got to go across the beams and some of them fall? Is that not the same game as the Squid Game one? You could just do something like that where you respawn.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you get
around. Squid Game would almost be a battle royale because it'd be, you know, as soon as you die, you're out and you can matchmake again, but it's sort of like that 100-to-1, you know?
I think it'd be cool if you could go to sleep at night and everything, like really immersive stuff.
Man, that scene, that first night in Squid Game, well, seriously, that traumatized me. That was frightening. Seriously, seriously frightening.
Lot to talk about there. Red Dead apparently getting a remaster. I swear we hear this every few months. I don't think we need to talk about that, but we'll keep it a lookout. It seems like a weird timing. I don't know. There's just, you got GTAs coming out. I think we'll give that one a miss for now. I think, I don't know.
I want it. Like, that sounds great.
Yeah, I'll play it when it comes out, but it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. GTA trilogy next week, though, boys.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm very, very excited for the trilogy. Can't wait for Vice City, San Andreas.
Yeah.
Vice City is my favorite GTA of all time. Can't wait to play it again.
So you go straight to that?
I go straight to Vice City. I actually really enjoy GTA 3. So maybe I will. But I just remember the story wasn't as, like, the main character wasn't as compelling as, like, Tommy Vercetti, Lance Vance, Ricardo Diaz. Like, oh, man, Vice City was so good. And San Andreas, of course, phenomenal game. And a lot of people obviously say that is the best GTA, the premium experience. So I'm excited for both. I'll also be excited for GTA 3 as well. But I might start with Vice City just because I have so much love for that game.
I'm going to start with San Andreas because it's my favorite.
I'm going to start from the start. And I go 3, Vice City, San Andreas.
Looks like we're all starting different places.
Call of Duty Vanguard is out 24 hours from recording this, or 26 hours from recording this, guys.
Stop saying it because you're making me want to buy it, man. Stop it.
So the roadmap shipment launches free in November. You remember the you guys know the map shipment.
What a map. Yeah. What a map.
They're getting that into the multiplayer. So I
level up my
putting shipment in games. Stop it. It's not a good map.
You've got the campaign coming out day one, the zombie map coming out day one. 20 maps and new modes in the multiplayer day one. You've also got the last days of Verdansk, a limited time event in Warzone, which will wrap up Verdansk, and then we'll get that new map, which is...
On December 2, though, that's disappointing. I was hoping it'd be sooner than that.
Yeah, I think they're just giving a bit of breathe time for the multiplayer campaign, and then you'll be able to transition. It won't be too long, Jordan, don't you worry. And I think they're also being strategic there with Battlefield, just to come out, and then they're going to sweep those people back into the new map. It's all strategic, trust me. That's coming December 2, and the Pacific map, I think it looks good.
Looks nice and bright and colorful. I like that.
And then you get the Ricochet anti-cheat as well. Hopefully it works. So that's all happening in the next month. Unfortunately, from what I've seen on Twitter and just the feeling, this is probably the least hyped COD in history.
Is it compared to, like, even more so than Cold War? Because I feel like Cold War is the same.
It's even dire than that.
Yeah.
It's just, there's just no hype around it.
What Cold War had going for it was the campaign, the Black Ops characters returning.
And the
Vanguard has no campaign and no multiplayer to be keen for, if that makes sense.
And people didn't want to go back to World War II, which doesn't help.
Sure.
Yeah.
I agree. I wanted a modern shooter. I need to stop
telling myself. I got down a bit of a rabbit hole this week because I saw that COD was coming out.
Well, what's making you get it? What's making you want to get it, Jordan?
Because I want it to be like I remember COD being playing it, like the excitement that you would have when a COD would launch and, you know, you jump on the maps for the first time using all these different weapons, like you'd party up with your mates and that sort of thing. That's what I want it to be. But I know that it's not. I know that it's not like that. And I need to get that through my head that it's not like that. And it's not going to be like that because it's not like we said this when the beta came out or the alpha or whatever it was we played. Like COD just isn't for us now. Like it's catered to a multiplayer in particular. Like it's catered to a different audience now and it's not us. So like I need to get that out of my head.
I would say wait till Modern Warfare 2, the sequel to Modern Warfare 2019.
And speaking of that, there's huge leaks have come out on that game. I'm really excited for this game already, even without these leaks, because I loved that 2019 game. And so did
best shooter really campaign. Good. One of the best shooter campaigns I've ever played.
It wasn't even that long, but it was just really good level design. And now there's a bunch of leaks. Do you have them in front of you, Vi? There's so many, I can't even...
Yeah. So... Apparently, the sequel, it claims that the reboot sequel will, it's apparently going to be a very significant reboot, they said. So apparently it's going to have weapon jamming, a new morality system, gore, it says, and revamped AI. There's a few other things as well, but those are probably the main headliners. So I really love this idea of morality. I know, like, I don't know, I just love when they experiment with Call of Duty campaigns like this. It's just a cool idea. And
well, they flirted with in that game where you could torture the guy or not. Or
yeah, that
you remember?
Okay, that being said, the Black Ops campaign in the embassy.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
The Cold War embassy, one of the best missions in that campaign was the embassy mission. So I'm really excited. Weapon jamming, I'm interested about. Obviously, I'm thinking that's a campaign thing, not a multiplayer thing, but.
Yeah, that'd be
cool. I just think that Modern Warfare 2019 is one of the all-time great Call of Duties, and that is something I cannot have said for any other recent Call of Duty. Do you get what I mean? From your Infinite Warfare, Advanced
it's
Warfare,
probably the best of the last, seven, eight, 9 years.
Hands down. I liked Advanced Warfare, but, man, 2019, phenomenal, phenomenal. Campaign Spec Ops was fine. How good was Spec Ops? We played Spec Ops.
Also,
Warzone.
If this might get you excited, Jordan, Afghan Quarry Terminal, all coming back.
And apparently they're coming to Warzone. So when MW2 releases next year, like new map again and revamped. Yeah.
Now that's going
to
bring
Warzone's the bit that gets me excited about COD. I think I need to. I've decided I'm not getting Vanguard. I'm going to walk around with a rubber band on my wrist for the next few days and keep.
I reckon I'll be able to convince you in a few days.
Because Dan, here's why. Okay. Welcome. Thank you for listening to my TED talk. Here I am. I didn't play the Cold War campaign. What makes me think I'm going to play the Vanguard campaign? I didn't like the multiplayer when I played the Alpha with you guys. And all I really wanted to play is more Warzone, and that's free, and it's coming out not until December. So, no, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. I won't be getting it. Not at launch anyway. Maybe if I find out the campaign and that's fine one day. Hey, no. But not about... Because my main thing that drives me to do it is the multiplayer, because I want to enjoy the multiplayer like I used to. But I just don't. It's just not for me anymore.
Mike, I'm off it. Are you getting it?
No, I won't be getting it.
All right.
Yeah, unless so it's some amazing campaign.
Back. If I report back and say the campaign is amazing, will that convince you?
Yes.
Yeah. But okay. I won't pay the multiplier. I'll just pay for the campaign.
If I said the campaign's good, that's not going to be enough, is it?
That's what I would call Call of Duty Vanguard cutscenes on YouTube. And I'd just watch it from start to end.
On Dan Allen Gaming's YouTube channel, which you... created, so you'd be watching
the creation.
It was there from the beginning.
That's true. That's
do you true. Remember the first video, Batman Arkham?
What yeah, man. The, who were now? Dan, eight... Can you tell me who were the eight assassins? Who were the eight?
Do
assassins?
You remember who I said?
You said Shiva.
I said Firefly. I was right with Firefly.
Oh man! And now, can you tell
Lady
me
Shiva was right? There's two out of two.
I loved Origins, Dan. I loved Arkham Origins. I think we all liked it a lot. Mm. But there were only two assassins who were primarily in the story. Deathstroke and probably what? Deadshot, maybe? Shiva, Firefly, Electrocutioner were there for about 4 seconds.
Copperhead. Can't forget Copperhead.
Oh, Copperhead.
Who was the guy that gave electricity gloves? Because that was the most fun gameplay mechanic.
That was like
Electrocutioner. The Electrocutioner was just there to give Batman the gloves. That's literally why he was in the
game. Stop trashing that game. It's an amazing game.
No, I liked it. I told you. I actually really enjoyed that game.
Okay.
Even the multiplayer was kind of fun, which is weird.
Well, that I think that was like the last game, maybe that or God of War Ascension, that was like
tacked on.
Came out with multiplayer, and then from then on, it was like, okay, maybe we don't need to do multiplayer. Like, thank goodness that part's dead, where every game felt like we needed to do multiplayer. God of War Ascension's multiplayer might have been one of the worst things in the world.
And like, you're a fan.
I'm a fan. That was shocking.
Really?
Like, tried. What but was it, Jordan? Again?
What did you have slightest. To do?
So you chose, like, you got to be like a champion of one of the four gods. It was like Zeus, Poseidon, Hades, and Ares, I think it was.
Mm.
And then like your powers and stuff were based on what champion you or whoever.
So you're not playing as Kratos.
You weren't. No, you were just playing as like some stock standard thing.
Oh.
It was. And then like, I think there was like a thing where the Blade of Olympus would drop and you could pick it up and then do stuff with it that way. But man, yeah. So bad. It's shocking.
I never even saw gameplay, but I should look it up after. Now,
if you want,
yeah,
if you want good Zeus gameplay, PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale. It was a DLC character, really top tier character.
You've got Crash, dude. You've got Crash Bandicoot, Spyro. You've got Joel from The Last of Us, Ellie. Let's get what's his name? Emmerton.
Emmett Graves.
From what?
Warhawk,
and let's get Zeus from God of War. Yeah, well done, guys. Great job.
That's what I'm saying.
MK have freaking Terminator
and Kratos. Mm. Don't forget that they had Kratos back in the day.
Michael Myers and Returnal, guys. What are your thoughts on this news? A suspend feature has come up.
Mm.
And is in the game and is being exploited as well. What do you think about this, guys?
So, like, first of all, I feel like when we talked about ways that this like suspend feature could be, exploited. Like, this is exactly how they were going to do it. Like, I remember I did this exact thing on Bloodborne when I was trying to go through the Chalice dungeons. Because I got to one boss and the health bar was huge on this boss. Mm. I'm like, I didn't want to have to go all the way back to the start. And it was like, this isn't fun. I'm backing up my save and I'm going to keep going through it until I can get through it. That was the only time I did that for Bloodborne. But yeah, so basically the Returnal brought in the suspend feature so that you can turn the game off and then turn it back on again and you can jump back in. But what it means is you can also get to a point that's not a boss fight. Suspend your game, exit the game. You can then go and back your save up on the cloud or a USB, and then you can jump back into the game, play. If you die, you can revert back to that old save state on the cloud or your USB, and then jump straight back in again. There's no real fix to this. Like, that's just how it is now. If people are going to exploit it, that's how they're going to exploit it. I don't know how you fix this. It's a shame, but who cares? If this is what people need to do to beat it, who cares? Like, this should not bother anyone. Is it just like, shouldn't bother anyone. It's a, what's
going on? I'm 100% in agreement with George. Like, it sort of just is what it is. Like, I'm sure that House Mike, when they tested this, the first thing you're going to test for a suspend feature is, can it be exploited? And then the first thing you're going to see is, maybe the cloud and saving and reserving. Like, that seems like such a simple thing to check. So, the fact that they probably knew this and this happened, I don't think it's an oversight. I think they clearly are just like, you know what, the game's been out long enough. You know, here you go. Just, this is going to make it easier for people, more accessible for people. Maybe, like Dan said, the sales haven't been well. They need to make it more playable for a wider range. I would say that you don't get the full Returnal experience if you are cheesing the saves like that. Now, the other thing I would say is if you need to do that, then that's fair enough. Who am I to like say the game's too hard or too easy? But I personally got a lot of enjoyment, which is sounds weird because it's frustrating when you die and you have to start all over again with nothing. I love the enjoyment and the adrenaline of like, if I die, I've lost all these upgrades. Now, it just made the game so much more fun. Now, the other thing is, if you die in Returnal, it's only a 30 minute setback, right? Because each run, you're just going to, in 30 minutes by killing everyone, you're going to get your guns back, your artifacts back, your, you know, I know it's luck-based, but the RNG, like, you'll get it back. And so it's not too frustrating. And I felt like Returnal, there was no cheese. Like, I didn't get cheesed by a cheesy boss or exploitive mechanics. It was just, you know, if I died, I'm like, fair enough. Like, that was on me. That's what the beauty of Housemarque's game was.
The one boss I had a lot of trouble with on Returnal was in that sixth biome, like that dude with the big red claws, and he had like long hair, have legs. And I died. So you know how there's that bit where you drop down and he's waiting there for you, and he doesn't attack you until you provoke him. I think I died like 8 times there, and it takes a while.
Is
to
this
get
the
to
final
that
boss?
Not the final boss. No. Do you know the dude I'm talking about? There's a few of them. There's a bit where in the sixth biome, you've got to get past him to like make a bridge or something. And once you get past him, there's like, then you end up like fighting a few other versions of him. And he just kicked my butt that many times. But you know how good it felt when I finally killed him, and when like I knew the strat to kill him every time. Amazing.
Yeah.
So if people need to do this, go on. If you've got the patience to do this every time you die, go for it.
And here's a hint to anyone who wants their Returnal is a bit afraid. You just use the Electropylon driver. Once you use the Electropylon driver, it gets so much easier, that game.
I did that. And the game became almost trivial.
Is it the damage that it puts out, or what does it do, this weapon?
No, you have to adapt the way you play the game. Like, but once you adapt it to that gun, because that gun's like a trap gun, so it doesn't... You know, it's not a hit scan type gun. It lays traps, and you sort of have to like lure the enemies into it, or the traps can stick onto the enemy. But once you shift your game style to that, where it's more the run and hide sort of mechanic or shoot and hide, that game, it's a very rewarding gun, and it's a lot of fun. It's still
why
fun.
Can't you
that
shoot and hide normally with a normal gun?
No, because normally you're dealing a lot of damage, and like you're dealing damage quick enough that a lot of the little enemies you can kill really quickly, so you don't have to run as much. But with the like Electropylon driver, you're setting up these traps and stuff on enemies and amongst enemies so that they're gradually taking damage. And they do take quite a lot of damage, like consistently, but it means you've sort of got to like wait it out a little bit, because you can only set so many traps before like the earliest ones you've set disappear. So then it sort of negates the effect. But yeah.
The best thing is that gun. Yeah, I know. It's phenomenal, man. That game, that gun helps you concentrate on dodging. Instead of like, I have to shoot and dodge at the same time. But anyway, we're going in too far into it. But I like the suspend feature. It's a lot more user accessible, you know, and I would just encourage people not to exploit the save feature like that. Suspense, I was a great quality of life thing. I think it was frustrating for me when, you know, Saturday night, I've put hours into this run and then I have to go because of one reason or another. And when I quit, it means I lose everything. And that happens a few times. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just have to quit. You know, I could put it on hold, but then I'm like, oh, I think at that time I was playing another game as well. And obviously PlayStation doesn't have multitasking. So that's a big thing. Like, I could put it on rest if I wasn't playing another game, but I was playing Warzone. Like, I was switching between Warzone with you guys and Returnal. Like, that was, you can't...
Do you miss Warzone?
Just mean you had to lose a save.
Do you two miss Warzone?
I do.
Yeah, I miss enjoying Warzone. Like, I don't actually miss playing it right now, but I miss enjoying it.
So you don't feel the itch to go back in, ever?
Nah.
Not in its current state. I'm excited when the new map drops, but right now I'm quite content playing other things.
November's PS Plus lineup. Knockout City, First Class Trouble, Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning, The Persistence VR, The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners VR, and Until You Fall... VR. We don't really need to chat on that, but they're the 6 games this week. We predicted what the VR games would be, Jordan. I don't think
we were very wrong.
Any of them right.
No. No.
So
that, it sort of makes sense that they wouldn't put like the most premium VR titles as the free ones, you know?
Yeah.
No, of course. Of course not. And that's it for the news this week, guys. A lot of juicy, juicy news. Jordan, just quickly, you've been playing Guardians of the Galaxy. Just give us your quick wrap on this game, because I know you got the platinum.
I do, yeah. Yeah.
Is this something us and the listeners should keep an eye on?
I really think it's worth it. Like, I really think it's worth a go. I think last week we talked about, and maybe the week before as well, I was really trepidatious on it because the gameplay just really didn't sell it for me. And as much as the gameplay really isn't spectacular, it does something that we spoke about Kena not doing, and it's making you feel powerful and making you feel strong. And like, the I don't think it's meant to be a difficult game. So when you go to choose the difficulty, it says, like, gives you a description for each one, and you can actually customize your difficulty as well. Like, you can do a custom difficulty and make it look like you deal really low damage, but you receive really high damage, or so on and so forth.
What did you do? Change,
like, I just did it on normal. So on the normal thing, it says, this is how we intend this game to be played. So I was like, all right, I'll do it that way. There's only a few times where I died. And I'm glad it was like that, because the combat really wasn't that fun. Like, it was pretty cool. Like, and it's good that I didn't feel like it was just me playing as Peter Quill. Or Star-Lord. I definitely felt like I was playing as all the Guardians, and the game was about all the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Because the worry was, is it just going to be playing Star-Lord? How boring. You're just doing moves for the other guys to do. But it definitely felt like you were playing as all of them, and I knew all of their moves and who would be good for what enemy and how to then combo them together.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was really fun. And the story is awesome. We need to go back. So back when we did the prediction, and I did the prediction for Guardians, I actually predicted the villain who ended up being the villain of this game.
Did you?
Who's that? Go back later. I won't say who it is because it's a bit of a reveal later on.
Okay. Don't say it.
We may need to go and do a recount to see whether I actually won that predictions contest or not. Just saying. It's really, really
fun. What's that for? What prediction was this for?
For whenever it was revealed, around E3 time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But the story is awesome. They really nail how the characters all interplay. It's really funny. Like, I laughed out loud multiple times. That's cool. I feel like they've nailed the voice actors. My least favorite voice actor, funnily enough, is Star-Lord's voice actor. I got so sick of hearing, "Guys, huddle up."
It's funny because this is the first game I haven't really interviewed any of the cast, and I've had a lot of people ask me to do it.
Yeah.
So they must be decent little cast there.
Again, just from looking at their names at the end, I didn't recognize any of them.
No,
I didn't recognize any of them by names.
They all haven't done much before. So that's good. Yeah.
But yeah, Star-Lord in particular, he just was just my least favorite out of them all. Just, he had some really cringy lines, and just, his delivery was, especially when
he tells him. Who did you like the most? How was Drax?
Probably Rocket. Rocket. Drax is good because Drax is a bit more similar to the way he is in the comics, where he's not like, he's in like the MCU. He's pretty dumb. Like, he's really, really dumb.
Yeah.
And like, he has a few, like, he has a few moments where he has like the, with like the dumb jokes. Like, they come up to this one bit and it's like, this is an impregnable force, or like an impregnable fortress. And he goes, "Well, how do we impregnate it?" I'm like, that's fine.
Like, that's it. It's more he takes everything very literally.
Yeah, but it's not everything. It's only when like there's a good punchline there, which is nice. It's really awesome. It's really long too. Like, I don't have my playtime in front of me, but it took me like
20 hours.
Yeah, it's about that. I probably played even more because I did all the collectibles and stuff. But yeah, it's
which is
long.
That's Last of Us too long.
There is a few points, like, it could be shorter, like chapter 14, I think it is. There's this bit where it's like, there's no need for this chapter to be so long.
Yeah.
So you go through this sequence where you like are outside on a spaceship and you play through and you kill some enemies, and then you go down back into the spaceship, and then you come out and you play in almost the exact same environment as before against the exact same enemies.
Bit of padding there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you go down into the ship again, and then you come out of the ship again. And it's like, oh my goodness, guys, this doesn't have to be this long.
And it's always in threes. These game developers always in threes still to this day.
Hmm.
Everything's and always got to be in threes.
There's some really cool payoffs that they mention at the start of the story. And you're like, oh, that's probably just some throwaway line. And then it gets to like the end of the game. And like, oh, wow, we're actually paying off on that. That's awesome.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I recommend playing it. It'll out probably be out of 10. I was thinking about this and I know I gave Deathloop an 8 and it's definitely not on Deathloop's level.
In terms of it's not as good.
It's not as good. However, okay. I did enjoy it a lot. So I gave Deathloop an 8. Yeah. I reckon like a 7.8 is what I'd give it.
So you give it an 8. You give it an 8. Come on.
Yeah, but
it's fine.
Like, it's fun. It's really fun. It's worth it for the story. The story is actually pretty good.
Do you know?
It's really good.
It's fun factor, man. It's fun factor. If you had just as much as fun, then
it was really fun. Yeah. It was really, really fun.
You know what's really interesting, George? I've been thinking about Deathloop this week, and I feel like the rating I gave it. I don't know what I gave it, but
eight.
I feel
you gave
like
it 8.
I want. Yeah, and I feel like I want to give it less, actually.
Ooh.
And yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about this because I'm like, okay, I liked that there was one solution, right? We've talked about this. And that made, you know, the game less overwhelming because it was very overwhelming at the start. And now I'm thinking, why am I praising a game for doing a bad job in making it not overwhelming and then limiting the gameplay to cater for that? I'm like, I actually wanted a more Hitman style where you could choose your own solution, and they should have the game mechanics to be able to make that followable, like a good UI, a good system to, and you know, because the game was too overwhelming because it's, I feel like, you know, the menus weren't that good. It was a bit, you know, really hard to keep track of all the things and,
hold on, what are you trying to say? You could kill the different people in different ways.
No. There's only one solution.
To get the perfect loop.
Oh, the perfect loop is one solution. Yeah.
There's only one solution.
But that annoyed you, that one aspect.
No. Well, that's a big aspect, then. It's the whole game. I'm saying that I honestly thought...
No, I disagree. But
it is. Oh, no, what I'm saying is, like, when you're piecing the loop... Let me put it like this, Dan. Like, in the Hitman, you're right in the terms of, like, with Deathloop, you could kill all these enemies any way you want. But in order to do the run, you had to make sure you killed the two people, the lovers, like Wenji and whatever his name was, in the bunker. You had to make sure you had to kill these guys here. Like, it was all set, right? So what I'm saying is I wish there was more variety on that, where there was more solutions. And I initially praised the game for that because I'm like, the game would have been very overwhelming because it was hard to follow the game. But now I'm saying... I actually would have wished for that.
It would have been overwhelming. I still agree with your original point.
But that's their fault for making it overwhelming because they had a bad menu system. And the second point is all their clues were all reading. It got to the point where I was just opening computers, skip, skip, skip. I wasn't reading any of those logs just to get
but the best bit was that if you skipped through that, it gave you the bits you needed.
It did. Yes, that's true, Jordan. But I'm saying that
the argument I have for you, Vike, though, is the setup for the ultimate, like for the golden loop, is very complicated. I cannot imagine how difficult it would be.
It would be impossible
to have even one more permutation of how the golden loop would be.
Yeah,
would be way too hard. So that way, the way they do it is that, like,
what do you mean you agree? What you just
one loop?
You just said you don't agree. What you,
like? There's that one loop, but you can, like, in the at the end, you can kill Alexis in a few different ways.
Are we talking to two different vikes, Jordan? One agrees and one doesn't.
I'm agreeing with Jordan. The fact that would be very hard to do, but that being said. I think that's on the that's a prerogative of Arkane to do that. You can't just say, "Oh, this is too hard. I'm not going to try." The other thing is they advertise the game in a way that made you think that you could kill them in multitude of ways.
Which you,
do you
can.
Know what I mean?
But you can though.
In the
you
solution, can. Dan. In the solution.
No, they never
no,
said
can't.
The solution.
Okay, cool. I could shoot them. I could throw them over the edge. I could kick them.
No, there was more than that.
No, there's a few more different setups.
I agree. Okay, I'm very much overseeing. You can call the gap. The environmental ways in which you can kill, yes, Dan. But in terms of you had to, like, in terms of the golden run, you had to go here, activate the fireworks. You have to go. I'm spoiling a bit, but you have to go here. You have to divert. You know, sabotage the experiment. You have to go like that is unchangeable. Those stuff you have to do in order to get them where you are, so you can freely kill them in the way you want. I get that. The freedom of killing them in the way you want, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the freedom in where and when and how you set up the kills is where they. I felt like they advertised that misleadingly. And where I thought they should have, like, you know, like a hitman, right? Hitman, you can kill them any way you want in a multitude of ways. And that's the beauty
The difference is, though, with hitman, they don't need to be done in an order. You can just do it however you want.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Deathloop should have been like that. There shouldn't need to be an order. You know what I mean? It would be cool if you could kill anyone, if you set it up the right way. Like, you can get them all at the party,
but then
kill
them all at once, you wouldn't have or needed
you
could
get them other way.
But you wouldn't have then needed to do, like, we're going on a tangent here, but you then wouldn't have needed to do all the loops you needed to get to the golden loop, because you could just from the start go, right, bang, bang, bang.
Oh, no, but they could have done it. Yeah, maybe I'm asking too much of that. Yeah, but I'm feeling like you could have done it in a way where you still had to find that information. Like, this guy, he could be here or here or here, and you have to follow the different paths, but...
But can you?
You're right.
Yeah, I just enjoy it for what it is, Fike.
Yeah, I think it's way too complicated that way. Way, way too complicated.
Yeah, it does make it too complicated. But yeah, I don't know.
We're still talking to two different guys.
Do you know what?
One agrees.
I'm keeping it at an 8.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You've convinced me, guys. You've convinced me.
There you go. There you go, guys. We convinced Vikarth. Now, I've been playing Forza Horizon 5, guys.
You're a traitor.
On the Xbox Series X. And. You know what?
This might doesn't make Call of Duty look soft.
I'll tell you one thing. This might be one of the best races I've ever played. How's that? Now,
better than Need for Speed Heat, Dan? I don't know.
Yes,
I don't know,
mate. This makes Need for Speed look so shit. I'll never play a Need for Speed again after playing this series.
Nah, you will, mate.
It's honestly night and day, the quality difference.
Now, I'm gonna buy it.
Okay,
then.
I will.
I'm gonna invite you.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, man, this game is so much better than
Heat. Yeah. It's light years. It's light years away. Now, obviously, Forza actually has a beautiful balance of sim and arcade, but obviously Need for Speed is on that arcade spectrum. But you're right. Forza is a king right now, and it's been the king for a long time. And I partly think it's because of the way Gran Turismo has been somewhat dormant. And the quietness of GT. So I think the real, like, if you look at the racing scene, right, the gaming racing scene, you know, with EA buying Codemasters and having the, you know, rights to Grid and buying slightly mad F1. Studios. They have F1, Grid, Project Cars, Need for Speed. They have and Monopoly almost on the racing. And then you've got the other model.
I don't have Forza, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you've got EA with all their games, Grid, Project Cars, Need for Speed, F1, and then you've got Forza, which is like Playdead or Playground, and is Ember Labs. I'm confusing them with Forza and Forza Horizon and Motorsport, and then you've got Polyphony with Gran Turismo. They're big three. I mean, you've got like Assetto Corsa, and you've got a few of those other ones, but they're more on a PC space. And yeah,
I'm
man,
telling
like,
you now,
I
you,
can't
you
wait
can just
to
play
see
Forza,
Gran Turismo.
And you don't have to play any other racer. It's that good.
Yeah, I just can't wait happy. To see Gran Turismo. I want to see Gran Turismo 7. They're saying, look, we're going back to the old stuff that you guys love. We're putting in new stuff. I'm really excited for GT 7.
This game is more arcadey, right? And it reminded me of the fun I had on Drive Club. You remember the weather physics in Drive Club? How good they were. Oh, man.
Do you know
that was a great underrated racing, game.
If you look at the racing scene. Like the people, the racers, I'm going to call them, they still, to this day, Evolution Studios, what they did with Drive Club's weather physics, still unparalleled. No one has even met that level.
No.
It's unbeatable.
It's so sad, man. They did such a good
game. It's sad
what
happened to Evolution.
Oh.
But what I'm saying is, it's an amazing game. Like, I love Drive Club. It's great. But... why did they open Evolution Studios and they had Polyphony? That was my question. Like, I was wondering, like, why would they make another racer, a first-party racer, to compete against their own first-party racer? It's really strange to me. It wasn't like a Forza Horizon and Motorsport.
Well, it was supposed to be that. It was supposed to be the Horizon.
They're both sim.
It was supposed to be arcadey.
They should have called that one GT Sport. That's what they should have done. Call that one Gran Turismo Sport, and then you're off to races.
But yeah, anyway, I'm excited for GT7. It'll be good to see how it does against Forza.
This game is in my top five of the year, straight in, just like that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It'll get really good reviews. I'm thinking low nines, high eights. It comes out in a few hours, so I'm expecting to see pretty good reviews because it's just such a good racer, man. I can go on it. I've only played about 5, 6, 7 hours, but just the quality on offer.
All right. Should we get to our second last segment of the show here really quickly? We'll blitz through these next bit. Do we need the intro tune for this bit?
Go, take it away.
I was get Craig David in. Sorry, Vi. Craig David's here. He's on a per minute basis. We can't keep him for too long. Okay. All right. What's your favorite? Tell me what's your favorite.
What were you going to say, Vi?
No, I heard your last one. Was it your favorite Marvel movie and your favorite Marvel
game?
Character?
Yeah, game. What were yours? Just quickly tell us.
No, it was just cool. I like this segment. I haven't done it before.
It's got a good intro.
No, Marvel, MCU would be Winter Soldier. So that's still phenomenal. And MCU game. What do you have?
Spider-Man?
Yeah, I'd say.
Miles Morales, yep.
What else is there? MCU, Marvel versus Capcom? But I don't.
Yeah.
That's all you really have.
There was more man.
Ultimate
Alliance. Today we are talking, what is your favorite COD? And we'll also talk about what's your worst COD. So favorite Call of Duty, worst Call of Duty.
Fine.
In one sentence.
Take us away, Vogue.
Modern Warfare 2, favorite, elite tier, unbeatable. Just can't get to that level. Worst Call of Duty. I never played Infinite Warfare, so I can't say that. So I'd say the worst one I played is probably Ghosts because of the map, not the gameplay.
Yep. Dan, go.
I would say the best Call of Duty is Call of Duty Ghosts. And the worst Call of Duty is Black Ops.
I hate you.
Obviously the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite is Black Ops 1.
It's actually a tie for me. Black Ops 1 and Call of Duty 4. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. Black Ops 1's unparalleled for me. It is just like everything was perfect in that game. The campaign was epic. Multiplayer was perfection, and the zombies were awesome the whole way through.
Worst COD, Kino.
I think the worst COD for me has to be Cold War because it's just the one that, like, I think every other COD.
You haven't played the campaign. Don't say that.
No, don't say that, Jordan. No, but I have just no inkling.
You play it and you'll enjoy it. Trust me. Vike was the same.
Trust me, George.
Vike was the same. He did not care, and I convinced him.
I agree, Jordan. The multiplayer is very very subpar, but you've got to include the complete package. Would you include Warzone as a package or Cold War? I don't know.
No.
But
no.
Yes, you do. Sorry, you do.
But that's not Modern Warfare. I'd say Modern Warfare 2019 is very, very close second, I would say, to MW2 or Black Ops. I don't know. Anyway, but I'm saying, George, campaign, you got to play it. You
got to
play.
I know, but I just think in terms of all the other CODs I've played, they've all had something that are like Ghosts. I really loved the campaign of Ghosts. The multiplayer was the campaign I thought was great. Infinite Warfare has the worst multiplayer out of them all, but the campaign was actually really good. I really liked the campaign. And I had no interest in the Cold War campaign, didn't touch the zombies, and the multiplayer sucked. So
I'd argue all the campaigns have been good, at least.
Yeah,
you've got to play the Cold War campaign, George. It's so good. Like, please do me a favor. It's like it's going to take you maybe 2 weekends, like 2 days.
I sold it. Don't have it anymore.
Please, man. You got to play. And if anyone wants to know, Adler, watch on Dan Allen Gaming. Adler Kill Stitch, guys. There's a new video on there. And it's epic cutscene. All right? Epic cutscene.
Did you actually watch it?
I did. But
did it make any sense to you?
No, I'm not following Warzone for its poor. That's another story for another day. How bad Warzone or Call of Duty, what they've done to support the lifespan of Warzone. They've done a very bad job. They're lucky that Warzone is just so damn good.
Yeah. Anyway, predictions. we got a prediction as well. Vanguard comes out very, very soon. Metacritic scores, everybody. We'll start with Jordan.
77.
77 for Jordan. Wow. That's not exactly high. You know what I think
is, Jorts? Call of Duty's never get badly reviewed, even if they're a bad game. So I'm going to say 81.
81. I'm going to say 84.
Ooh.
Okay.
George, play the Black Ops Cold War campaign, man. Please.
No, can't, man. Busy. Can't do it.
You're missing out on actually one of the best shooter campaigns out there.
What are you going to play next, Jordan? Seeing as you're not
I really don't know.
GTA.
GTA. I'm still working through Hades. I need to like focus up on Hades and see what I need to do for the plat. Because I feel like I'm sort of just spinning my tires a little bit at the moment. I'm not really getting anywhere with it. I'll continue working through Hades. I don't think I'll start anything new. I've never finished Judgment. So maybe if I have time, I might go back to that. But Hades, I think I'm going to make Hades my 250th platinum too. So I'd like to get towards the end of that before, because I think I'm at 247 now. So I'd like to get moving through that to make that number 250. So maybe get, some other plats in between then.
All right. I'm going to be playing Vanguard for the next week. So I'll be able to report back next week.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, when are you going to join the guerrillas and fight El Presidente Anton Castillo? Never.
I don't think Jordan's ever going to. Of Yara. Never going to do it. I don't think.
I reckon it'll be sometime next year. No, this is me being 100% serious. Sometime next year when there's like that lull.
There won't be a lull. Like
in the middle, in the middle of the year, there's always that lull.
You will never play Far Cry 6.
In June, July, there's always that lull. And I
reckon, you know what breaks my heart, Dan? Jordan is more willing to play Crap Cry 6 instead of Black Ops Cold War campaign.
Dude, the campaign of Cold War was very underrated. And they did a lot different to other CODs, didn't they?
Yeah, it's not just a regular shooter campaign, man. There's a Hitman style mission in Aaron.
Oh, don't tell me that. I didn't like Hitman.
I'm talking about Hitman 1, Hitman Absolution.
It's like Hitman Absolution, man. You going with the two silver ballers? It's crazy.
All right, guys. It's been a pleasure as always. Make sure to follow us on all socials.
Later.
And share the podcast with a friend, and we'll see you.
Remix.
Later.